Brothers and sisters, this week we have witnessed some unprecedented events which I felt required my comment. Ordinarily, I focus on preaching exegetically directly from the Bible and make an intentional effort to avoid preaching messages which are heavily concerned with current events. Such messages become dated quickly. However, we cannot ignore the events taking place around us, and a good teacher of the Word cannot neglect to apply the Word where application is needed. As you are surely aware, in recent months we have heard reports of a deadly virus known as COVID-19 sweeping the globe. I am not a healthcare professional, so I can't tell you much about the virus with any authority, but based on what I am reading in the news, it has symptoms similar to the flu, but is more contagious and more deadly than flu ordinarily is. Presuming that all of that is correct, it is wise to take precautions like avoiding large social gatherings, frequently washing hands, and so forth, as healthcare professionals have advised. However, I am deeply troubled by the trends which I have seen in government overreach in the last week and feel I must address it. For example, this last week, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, has issued an executive order for everyone in California, tens of millions of people, to stay at home, with only a few exceptions for workers in critical infrastructure to attend work and for people to purchase food and medications. In Georgia, on the opposite side of the U.S. and under the control of the opposite political party, generally a strong ideological clash with California to be sure, the legislature last week passed a bill granting the governor of that state, Brian Kemp, a state of emergency declaration, which includes the authority to unilaterally suspend the law, to restrict travel of law-abiding citizens, to seize private property, and to compel medical treatments. These two opposite states represent grave circumstances taking place across the entire continent. According to news reports, United States President Donald Trump's Department of Justice even went so far as to request that the U.S. Congress grant the president emergency powers in response to the virus to suspend habeas corpus, meaning that they requested power to indefinitely detain citizens in prison without formal accusation or trial. That should horrify you. Americans may well be one cough away from life in prison without trial, simply for the supposed crime of leaving their homes. In many places, the military have already been called in for enforcement of radical provisions like these. You should make no mistake, then. Under the cloak of a health emergency, we are very quickly being subjected to literal martial law, and there is even talk of suspending elections if the spread of the virus continues. Primaries in Ohio were already suspended. You should be deeply concerned by this. Such actions have been taken by government across the United States and indeed all over the world, with much media sensationalism and little consideration to the actual gravity of the issues at stake, particularly the moral issues. We should make the point perfectly clear. While we respect the rightful place of government, as the scriptures describe, there are some powers which cannot ever be rightly granted to any government. We believe that God's word describes natural right and wrong, and in doing so, it prescribes certain bounds which government may never rightly transgress. The scriptures recognize that all people are to be treated equally under just laws. There is no scriptural justification for granting one person the power to suspend and arbitrarily enforce the law. The scriptures also grant you a right to the protection of your body, and certain medical interventions carry moral consequences. As such, you have a natural right to refuse healthcare services. The scriptures say you shall not steal, one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And this gives you a right to private property. No one can claim a right to take your property arbitrarily, but only within the narrow limits which Scripture prescribes. A government cannot rightly claim a blanket authority to seize property. The Scriptures grant or even require public worship and the gathering together of believers. Now, we don't physically gather for online services, but it has always been my position that this church should not be your only church. I do not encourage that you should forsake gathering with local believers, and the scriptures recognize a natural right to personal liberty, freedom of movement. No one can rightly order you to stay in your home, to avoid all public gatherings, or not to travel to public places, short of some extraordinary justification, such as probable cause to believe you have committed a serious crime. And certainly, indefinite detention of a person, particularly without due process of law, is a grave sin. The scriptures prominently declare the right to judicial process, as in, for example, Exodus 18. Concerning the right to liberty of movement, I would be failing you if I did not note that the Law of Moses does make provisions concerning general public health practices, such as keeping clean and separating people who had been diagnosed with illness. Whether these laws should be regarded as positively abrogated cleanliness laws, no longer to be followed, I suppose is a subject for debate. However, it is very clear that those laws were only applied to people who were certainly known to be sick, and had no direct impact on those who were not. So even if some power to quarantine the sick does exist, there is certainly no authority granted by Scripture to make sweeping restrictions on everyone sick and well alike. And while I haven't yet heard talk of seizing weapons, some states do permit government to seize arms during states of emergency, and I would not be surprised if we start hearing about it. I will remind you that Christians have a right, even a duty, to bear arms. Jesus himself said, "Let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." That in Luke 22:36. So if states do begin seizing weapons, bear in mind that this action is also contrary to the Word of God. We should further note that many of these natural rights are defended in the United States Constitution. The First Amendment to that document recognizes a right to peaceful public assembly and to freedom of worship. The Second recognizes a right to bear arms. The Fourth Amendment recognizes your right to property and due process. The 14th Amendment recognizes the right to equal protection of the law. The body of the document itself acknowledges the right of habeas corpus, and the United States Declaration of Independence proudly recognizes the legitimacy of natural laws given by our Creator. It is therefore my opinion that the actions being taken by government right now are not only immoral and unjustifiable in the sight of God, but are also unlawful and contrary to the historical Christian influence in the United States. It is clear that our governments are behaving not by the rule of law and sound philosophical principle, but by the rule of the mob and the rule of the jungle, where might and numbers become the definition of right. Persons enforcing such pseudo-law are no better than common thugs and gangsters and deserve no higher respect nor treatment. Do not fool yourselves, government leaders. You are not acting on God's behalf when you act in this way. You lose your authority to govern when you behave in this way. And I suggest to you that the supposedly dire circumstances which have reportedly pressed upon government to take these radical actions are not remotely as dire as has been suggested. In the 2017-2018 flu season, 61,000 Americans died, and the news did not even take notice. At the time of this recording, some 14,000 people have currently died worldwide over the last several months from the COVID-19 virus, many of them elderly and already suffering from complicating health conditions. It is not my intent to tell you that this virus does not have the potential to become worse than an ordinary flu, but we would expect that it should at least become worse than an ordinary flu season before martial law should be invoked. America has faced worse health crises in the past without invoking such extraordinary measures. A century ago, in the Spanish flu epidemic, some 675,000 Americans died without these kinds of unprecedented measures. That's 25 times the number of Americans currently even infected with COVID-19, and the number that died in that epidemic was a much larger percentage of a much smaller population. At the time when Georgia's governor effectively declared martial law last week, only one person in his state had died, and fewer than 200 were sick, out of 10 million people in the state. The governor of West Virginia declared a state of emergency before even a single resident of his state tested positive for the virus. And frankly, it is very difficult not to call these extraordinary measures profoundly hypocritical, because the government has not adequately concerned itself with public health for decades. About 1 million healthy babies are aborted every year, and half of the government cheers this. No one ever took sweeping powers to save those children. So how can anyone now take sweeping powers to rescue 100,000 elderly people already in ill health? I have read and believe that COVID-19 will be more likely to kill people practicing homosexuality than it will people who are not. But the government has been publicly endorsing homosexual activity for years now, despite knowing that it spreads diseases like AIDS, which compromise the immune system. No one has taken sweeping powers to clean up that obvious public health crisis. And so it is clear to me that the government is not concerned with public health, so much as the state is concerned with seizing power for itself, and that should scare you. So I'd like to give you some pastoral counsel on the ongoing issues concerning the COVID-19 virus. First, while this virus could be serious, you should be wary of the government and media hype surrounding this virus. It is clearly not as serious as it is being made out to be with round-the-clock news coverage, so stay calm. Second, it is wise for you to take reasonable precautions so that you do not spread the virus, particularly if you have it. And if you have it, the precautions you should take should be greater than what an ordinary healthy person would undertake. It is good for you to take the best interest of others in your community into account rather than selfishly serving yourself. There is no harm in willingly canceling events or travel plans. However, you do not have an obligation to take extraordinary measures to protect other people from the slim possibility of being infected with a virus, which you likely do not even carry. Third, you should recognize that a government agent is not acting as a God-ordained authority when he steps outside the bounds decreed by Scripture. As a believer, you are not morally obligated to submit to stay-at-home orders or forced medical treatments. You are not obligated to relinquish your property to commandeering. You are not obligated to avoid public gatherings or to submit to spurious arrests. You should not give up your arms. And in fact, you have a natural right to defend yourself against aggressors who are acting in violation of the laws of God. You will not stand guilty before God for defending His word in the face of governmental tyranny, whether or not you will stand guilty before men. Fourth, you should take steps to help others. Do not hoard supplies. According to the news that I have been hearing, there is currently no reason to believe that there will be a shortage of food and such, except that people are hoarding more than they need and straining the supply chain. Be kind and share what you have with those in need. And if you see that the rights of others are being violated, take courage and defend those people. If Christians particularly do not hang together in difficult times, as the old saying goes, we will surely all hang separately. Fifth, have faith and take heart. This virus is not the end of the world. It may put a strain on your faith if you catch it. It may take people whom you love. Those things will be hard, but you must hang on to your faith in trying times. The Scriptures tell us that God works all things together for the good of those who love God. See Romans 8:28. Remain steadfast in your hope, then, that all of this will work to the glory of God and the glory of His people, even if not in the short term. And if you are a believer, know that even if you die, this virus can do no more harm to you than to bring you into the glorious presence of your Father in heaven. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have no fear of death, and thus we have no fear of this virus. And finally, if you are cooped up at home with nothing much to do, take the opportunity to listen to some of our hundreds of free Bible resources. This week we've got a new message about Joshua's battle at Ai and the lessons it teaches us about prayer. To conclude then, it is our hope and prayer that this plague would pass quickly, that God's people would be divinely protected from it, that the states of emergency would quickly end, and that Christians would stand with manly firmness in civil disobedience against those who would attempt to deprive us of our God-given rights in the meantime. And of course, that God would be glorified in everything.